What happens when your coach is also your dad and your team wins a national title? In this episode of Car Ride Conversations, I'm back with my dad and former coach for part three of our ongoing series about the parent-coach dynamic. We dive into the real psychology behind sideline behavior, what separates the best teams from the rest, and the mindset shifts that helped us go from local league to national champions. You'll hear personal stories from our travel softball journey, lessons about leadership, mistakes we made, moments that clicked, and what every coach parent should know if they want to build trust, effort, and resilience in young athletes. If you're a parent, coach, or doing both, this one's packed with great gems that will hit home. Welcome to Confident, Calm, and Clutch Car Ride Conversations. I'm your host, Valerie Alston, here to help parents and young athletes spark meaningful dialogue about mental toughness, resilience, and confidence. Whether you're headed to practice, a game, or just running errands around town, this podcast is your go-to for building stronger relationships and lifelong skills, one car ride at a time. Let's dive into the conversation. So I would say one of my observations too that I always appreciated, because there was a couple years where you were not my coach, especially my last 2 years. And it was something I always missed and appreciated is that you, whether you inherently got it or you just discovered it, but the only time you berated is the wrong word, but the only time you yelled at us was like a lack of effort, like where it was clear that we were not putting effort in. But if we were trying hard and we made a mistake, like there was never fear of making a mistake. You were always pretty good at diffusing. I think that's your default mode personality anyway, that humor is your way. I'm gonna change the tension in the room by making a joke or being silly or being goofy, which worked with kids. But there's psychology to that, right? And when I talked about it a couple episodes ago, it's the undoing effect. And you were always really good at that. And when I played for other coaches that were not, it was always like, okay.
That's actually something that default learned. I don't know where I learned it, but I found when we were on our run as that 10 and under team that won nationals, and we were on our run, we were beating just everybody. We
Yeah.
played,
All the
Crunch and
great
these other
teams.
teams all the time and always beat them. I always knew when we were going to win because their coaches got really tight when the game got tight.
Yeah.
Then they'd start getting
Start
amped
yelling
up
and
in it
antsy.
with that. And I would say, this is when we got them. This is when we got
Yeah.
them because they're going to screw up and our team's having fun.
Yeah.
And so I started this mantra when we got in close games. I'd go up and down the dugout saying, everybody, oh, we love close games. I don't like winning 10 to nothing. I like it when we're behind 2 to 1 and we come back and beat them in the last inning. That's the fun games. Those are the fun games. So it became, we thrive on this. This is what we want to do. We want to keep it close just so we can break your heart when the game over. And it becomes like the team buys into that because it worked. And that's actually the one thing I taught Rick when we went and won nationals with the Miners Gold team, and Rick blew up at one tournament and got all mad because they did something stupid and were losing the game. And I pulled him off the course. Rick, dude, everybody in the field is watching you. Or how do I act when something bad happens? They're watching the head coach. How does this guy act? Because that's how we're going to act as a team. I said, no,
You're
if you're out there and they see you stressed out, they're going to get stressed out. You've got to take those moments, are the ones that really matter, to come up and say, we love it. Let's go. Come on.
Yeah, like, all right, pick yourself up. We got the next inning, we got the next play, next pitch.
And that's where the coach really has more impact because ultimately we don't play the game. The kid's got to pitch and catch and throw and run. And you try to put the right people in the right place. Your number four hitter goes 0 for 4, and your number nine hitter gets four hits sometimes. It's not controllable. But what you can control is the mood and the attitude and the demeanor of your team. And we did quite a few things as a team. I don't know if you remember when, like, we were playing a game and another player would get hurt. I would come by at the end of the game and get a good get well card, have you guys all sign it and say, hey, sorry you got hurt in the game, that kind of stuff. Because you're here to respect your opponents and their effort too. Want to be seen as somebody that we play hard. You're going to come in a game with us. You're going to have a good
You're gonna
game.
have to
We're
bring
gonna
it.
You're going to have to beat us, right? You're going to have to beat us. But when the game's over,
We'll go hang out with you. Because
yeah,
in fact,
let's
we
have
did.
fun.
And we had a lot of friends on
Remember
other
that
teams and we hang
the
out.
one, I forget the girl's name, the pitcher from, gosh, the big stocky pitcher. And then
Was that Shauna that gave me the giant bruise and I hit like from in high school that I.
yeah, somebody, and then it was like funny because you drilled her with a line drive right off her leg after that. And then after the game, you guys are sitting over there laughing about it. That's competition. That's what the sport is about. And even though we had teams that we liked to beat or preferred to beat, yeah, I think, again, I always had a set of core values for a team. Here's the way we act, here's the way we behave. And those are important. And every time I let somebody on the team that didn't honor those, we always paid the price. You know who I'm thinking about. But if you have a person who isn't there for the right reasons, who isn't there to be part of the team, who isn't there to buy into what we're doing, then it destroys everything. And so I think as a new dad, coach, person, what advice I would give is you have to understand the process of being a coach, and it's you do have to show the skills and you have to do the coaching stuff, helping everybody learn. You can't predetermine for a kid what they're going to be good at. Let them play their way on the field. Let them do it. Now, if you take a kid and you decide after the first practice that they're an outfielder and they're an infielder, you're limiting your ability as a team to grow and get better. So you have to work into your practices those things that allow every kid the opportunity
To play every position, yeah,
to
different
play
roles. Yeah.
and to show what they can do. And there are some kids that they're never going to be an infielder, maybe, but you don't really know that until you've seen them. And I just remember when I first took over as the head coach and we were doing tryouts, you go out and have a kid come out and they play for an hour and a half, and then you say, okay, you're on my team, you're not. And then later in the season, I'm playing against this kid and she's kicking our butt. I'm saying, why didn't we pick her? I was looking at a small sample size
Yeah, you didn't have
and
enough
it wasn't
information.
really relevant. Maybe the kid's nervous or had a bad day. You don't know. But on the other hand, you have kids that start out at the bottom of the pack and get better and better every day. And then you go,
They're
wow,
being great.
okay, they've worked what they do. So you've got to let them fill their own shoes, work their way into or out of the lineup. And the best way to do that is you have to, I don't know if we did the year that we won everything and beat every team we played, we had a rotation. Everybody had a primary, secondary, and tertiary position. And so you played two games at the primary, a game at the secondary, and a
Secondary.
game at the tertiary, and you sat out one so that everybody got a chance
To
to
play.
rotate around. Now, when it got to tournament time,
yeah, that was for pool play and round robin
when it got
games.
to tournament time, then it was okay, A teams on the field until we need to do something different. But the other thing, when you get into those national tournaments and you got a five games on a Saturday, it takes everybody on the dang
Yeah,
team
you're going to have to
to
rotate
get
people
through
out.
it. And so your third best pitcher might be your best pitcher that day because she hasn't pitched 400 pitches in the heat already. So it's all about just letting people show what they can do. And I think if the kids really know that that's true, then
It's thrive in
they
that
can
environment.
buy into it. I think, okay, I know where I stand, right? You're
And I think
not
one of
playing
the
me because you
things.
don't like me. You're not playing me because I can't go to the left and field a ground ball.
And I think
If
you
you
were,
do that, we'll let you play, right?
and I think you were always pretty good at being honest with kids about that. Hey, here's what you need to do. And when you show me you can do that, you'll play this spot. You'll play it, you'll be on the A team version of that spot.
I think
All right.
it is part of the, again, if you're going to put somebody on your team, you owe them the chance to compete for a spot. But the flip side of that too is there are spots for everybody and everybody has a role. And I think one of the things that really brought this home for me, I think we went out to New Hampshire one year and
The national qualifier.
won the qualifier, and I was looking at the picture of the championship trophy presentation, and everybody on the team was smiling except for two people. We didn't get in the game because we stayed in the winner's bracket. We never got to our secondary lineup. And I looked at it and said, wow, they don't really feel like they were a part of this. And that's probably my fault. I needed to show them that they did nothing wrong. The circumstances of the game got us to the point where, because it was Crystal was the secondary pitcher, but
I remember
we never had to get off Christine. So I told her, look, I knew if I needed to put you in, we were going to win that game because we had a very good pitcher coming in to back up the first one.
that.
But
And then she ended up being
Right.
huge at nationals. I remember that because I completely got hurt in the first inning of the first game. And
But again, when I saw that picture, I knew right away that I hadn't communicated that very well because they didn't feel like they were part of that
at that moment.
victory. And
Okay.
that's how it goes, is you, but you're human
You
too, right?
learn. You're human, yeah. Coaches, parents, I want to, you're human too. Absolutely. All right, y'all. I hope you enjoyed that snippet of the conversation between my dad and I. Before we dive into the conversation prompts today, I just want to kindly ask that if you're enjoying these episodes, please leave a review because one, that will help the episodes show up more in the podcast searches. But more importantly, it gives me feedback about what you're enjoying and what direction you'd like to see this podcast go. So please leave a review. It means the world to me, and that your support would be very much appreciated. All right, so let's dive into some conversation. So, as a reminder, as always, there are no wrong answers. Take turns talking and listening. Try to minimize distractions as best you can. And remember that you can always pause after each individual question or listen to all of the questions and just discuss what's relevant for you in your car, wherever it is that you're driving. All right, so let's dive into the first question. And this is for both parents and kids here. So, what do you think matters more to a coach, effort or performance? And why do you think that? Okay. To the kids, have you ever had a game where you gave your full effort and still made mistakes? And how did that make you feel? Have you had coaches that valued both that didn't? All right. So, just talk about in general for coaches, what do you think matters most, performance or effort? For the second question, how should a team handle pressure when a game gets tight? If you've had experience playing in tight situations before, what are some things your coach did that helped? What are some things your coach did that didn't help? Or even the parents, right? In the stands, what did they do that helped? What did they do that didn't help? Between you and your parent right now in the car, what are some things that you can talk to them about that actually help you as a team handle pressure more effectively versus get in your way? All right, our third question. Why is it important for every athlete to know their role on the team, even if they're not always playing? What's one way a coach or teammate could help someone feel more included, even if they're not on the field all the time? What ideas do you have? Okay, and our final question, again, for parents and coaches to, excuse me, parents and kids to talk about together. How should parents or coaches talk to kids about playing time and position changes? So, kiddos, from your perspective, when a coach needs to make a change or wants to put you in a different spot, how should they communicate that to you? What would work for you? What would help you understand why they're doing it? And how would you want that delivered? Okay, so help the adults in your life figure out what do you think would work. All right, y'all, let's remember to keep those conversations rolling and let's make those car rides count. Thanks again for joining me on Confident, Calm, and Clutch Car Ride Conversations for Sports Families. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with at least one person in your life, maybe a fellow parent, or perhaps a coach who you think might benefit from listening to this episode. For weekly tips, mindset shifts, additional conversation prompts that might help you or your athletes stay confident, calm, and clutch no matter the scoreboard, please consider subscribing to my newsletter at www.confidentcalmclutch.com/newsletter. If you have any suggestions for new topics or things that you would like to hear about or generate conversations about in your car rides, there is a link in my show notes to if you want to submit some ideas. You can always go to my Facebook or Instagram page at VAlstonCoaching and DM me. That is a great, wonderful option. And I look forward to hearing from you and continuing these conversations. Have a great day.